We're coming to somewhat to an end of some of the sugyas that we've been discussing about mitzvahs of tzoros ba'aretz. In particular, we spoke a little bit in the last couple of shiurim, before Shavuos, we spoke a little bit about a precious tumas and maishos, just practically speaking, how the separation of tumas and maishos takes place. There's one last akud of this sugya that I want to speak about, which is very much relevant l'maisa in terms of separating tumas and maishos, and some of it carries over even for us who live in chutzlar, even if we don't have a situation of tumas and maishos proper. But some of the halachas carry over to Afrashas Chala as well, since Afrashas Chala, the Torah also considers to be a type of a truma. Poskim in next week's parasha, Parashas Shlach, Chala, Terumah, Truma. So many of the dinim of Afrashas Truma carry over to Chala, so this sugya becomes important for us in many different levels. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Kedushin and Daf Mamalef from Aveis that when one separates Truma, Mais, Chala for that matter, so only the owner is permitted to do the separation. Only the person who owns the actual grain, the person who owns the produce, owns the dough, only that person is permitted to be mafresh. I cannot be mafresh on behalf of somebody else. The Gemara derives from a pasuk. It says, "Kinturimu gam atem." You, atem. So the Gemara says, "Atem." Below a torah mesheinu shalo. One does not have a right to be torah. One does not have a right to separate tumas and maisos and challah from something that one does not own. If that would be the case, that ein adam torah al dovish inu shalo, asks the Gemara question, what would the halacha be if I give you permission to be mafresh on my behalf, or I appoint you as a shaliach to be mafresh truma on my behalf? So the Gemara says that would be all right. That's okay. How do we know if that's true? So the Gemara derives this also from the same pasuk, kein terimu gam atem. So atem is a miut. Atem is coming to exclude someone who's not the rightful owner. But gam is a riboy. Gam is an inclusion. Gam always comes to include something. So gam l'rabbis is a shaliach. So shluch shon kemo. So that a shaliach, as long as he was duly appointed by the owner, would be permitted to be mafresh trumas and maizos on behalf of the owner of the tvua, of the isa, of the dough, of the produce, whatever the case may be. So on the one hand, we're mamayik, we exclude the person who is not an owner. On the other hand, a person who was delegated properly as a shaliach would be permitted to do so.
If he wants to be mafresh from his own
grain. Oh, look, we're going to get to that. The difference is between mafresh from his grain and from somebody else's grain. We'll get to that as we go on. So the Gemara actually suggests in Maseches Kedushin that this may be one of the sources for the general principle of shluch hashon kemoso. We're familiar with this idea that somebody can appoint a shaliach, can appoint a representative to act on their behalf, not only in the realm of Truma. We know this in the realm of Kedushin, in the realm of Gittin, in the realm of Akrofas HaKarbonos. We have a general klal called shluch hashon kemoso. It's interesting that phrase, shluch hashon kemoso, that we're so familiar with, only appears in a Mishnah one place in Shas. And the context that it appears in has nothing to do with the shlichus that we're familiar with. The Mishnah, the fifth parak of Maseches Bracha, says that if a person is davening and they start to make a mistake in the middle of davening, that's a siman ra. It's a sign that maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu isn't necessarily accepting the tefillos. The Gemara says that if a shlich tzibur is davening, he starts to fumble, he starts to make a mistake in his davening, that's a siman ra for the whole tzibur. Why is that? So the Mishnah says, "Mishnah shluchus on kemoso." So that's the term shluchus on kemoso that was coined by Chazal. So the truth is, it's not really the same thing. That the shliach tzibur is not exactly a regular shliach in the classic sense of the word, but that's the phrase that we borrow. We borrow that phrase in the shluch shon kemoso. So we know there's halacha shluch shon kemoso in all areas of halacha, many areas of halacha. So the Gemara suggests the possibility that maybe it's actually derived from the parsha of Truma. The Gemara says, "Shach v'tayin kedushin af nemalas." Is this really the makor? Is this a separate din? Etc. That's already a detail. But everybody agrees that one can be mafresh trumas and maizos either on one's own. On one's own property, or one can be mafresh trumas and maizos on behalf of somebody else, but only if they were appointed appropriately. This halacha, that one can invoke the principle of shlichos in order to be mafresh trumas and maizos, is important to keep in mind that this is only true if the shliach meets the criteria of hilchos shlichos. There are a whole series of different halachos that the shliach has to meet in order to be acceptable to be a shliach. So one example is, one halacha is that the shaliach has to be Jewish. And the shaliach is a not Jewish, the shaliach is a goy. So a goy is excluded from the parasha of shlichus. How do we know this? So the Gemara also derives this from the same pasuk, kein terimu gam atem. So gam atem is levavos as a shaliach. So shaliach du mi diatem. Just as the Torah is speaking to Jews, so you Jews be mafresh trumas and maizos, so to the shaliach who's going to be mafresh trumas and maizos on your behalf, has to be similar to you. Gam atem levavos shluchachem. Shluchachem dumi diatem, ma'atem b'nei bris, the Gemara says, ashluchachem b'nei bris. So from here we derive a kol tarakula, that a goy is not acceptable to be a shaliach. So a goy cannot be a shaliach for kedushin and for gevushin, for mechiras, let's say I want to sell your property, but I don't want to come to the sale, I want to appoint a shaliach, I cannot delegate a non-Jew to do the action for me, because ein shalichus la'akum. In fact, the Gemara says that this halacha, that ein shalichus la'akum, that the parish of shalichus was not given to non-Jews, so this applies in both directions. This applies that a goy cannot be a shaliach for a Jew, and this applies that a Jew cannot be a shaliach for a goy. Either one of those two cases would be an application of this rule. That's why I may have mentioned this several shuls, but I remember I mentioned it here, that sometimes you have a situation where you have a non-Jewish establishment, and it happens to be peiros, there are fruit that comes from Eretz Yisrael, there's produce that comes from Eretz Yisrael, the one has to separate Tumas and Isis from. So who's going to separate the Tumas and Isis on behalf of this non-Jew? So the non-Jew himself has to be mafresh truma and ma'aser. The Gemara says the non-Jew can be mafresh truma. That's okay. A goy can be mafresh truma, but a goy can't be mafresh truma on my property, or I can't be mafresh truma on the goy's property. So if you have, let's say, a particular store that's owned by a non-Jew, and that non-Jewish store is getting a fruit from Eretz Yisrael, getting vegetables from Eretz Yisrael that have to be one has to separate truma and ma'aser from, so the non-Jewish owner himself can do it, but he can't appoint the mashgiach to do it on his behalf, because the mashgiach is only going to be a shaliach. And there's no shlichus for nakom, and there's no shlichus for nakom means either a goy to a Jew or a Jew to a goy. So again, so there is a basic halacha of shlichus, that's true, but shlichus has one limitation, the one limitation being that both the shaliach and the mishalech have to be Jews. There's an interesting machlokes acharonim. What if both the mishalech and the shaliach are non-Jews? It means it's true that a non-Jew can't appoint a Jewish shaliach, or vice versa. What about a non-Jew appointing another non-Jew? So some Achorim say that's okay. Some Achorim say that the din in the Torah that you can't have shlichus for a goy, that means you can't have that kesher, you can't have that relationship between the Jew and the non-Jew. But if both of them are non-Jewish, so the Magen Avraham quotes with one of the early Achorim, the Nasas bin Yamin, who says that would be okay. You can have shlichus from one goy to another. And the Magen Avraham says that's not true. He says the goy mufka from the parish of shlichus. A goy cannot be appointed shlichus, can't be a shlichus, can't be for a Jew, for a goy to a Jew, nothing. There's no way that a goy can ever invoke the principle of shlichus. That machlokes. That's where the Magen Avraham of all places close to the Shaila. The Magen Avraham raises the question, let's say the rabbi is already Erev Pesach, the Selah Chometz to the non-Jew, and he's expecting the non-Jew to come, and the non-Jew gives him a call and says, I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of a business meeting, I can't make it, but I'll send my agent, I'll send one of my workers, he'll come and go through the Kinyanim with you. So the Masos bin Yamin says, that's okay, because the Shaliach, the Goy, the Shaliach, is acting as a Shaliach for the other Goy. So one guy can serve as a shliach for another guy. And the Magen Avraham says, no, it's not true. The Magen Avraham says that a guy, out of the parasha of shlichus, a guy can never be a shliach, not for a Jew, not for a guy, a shliach, shliach, nothing. Goyim don't have the parasha of shlichus. So an interesting application of that machlech. Getting back to our story. So if you have...
Why can't
you could. He's not interested in buying. He's not interested in. He wants to buy. He can buy for himself. So again, this is a very real shalach. We have this in one of the establishments in town. We had this problem. It was a non-Jewish owned establishment, and they were they wanted to sell produce from Eretz Yisrael. We had a little bit of a problem. Whenever we have establishments that sell produce from Eretz Yisrael, that one has to separate tumas and maizes from, so it's the responsibility of the place that's given Ashkocha to make sure that the tumas and maizes are taken off before it leaves the store. So usually what was done is that the owner of the store usually didn't bother the mafresh tumas and maizes. He would appoint a mashkiach. We tell the owner that, tell the mashkiach that part of his job is now to separate tumas and maizes. So if it's a Jewish-owned store, that's okay. But if it's a non-Jewish-owned store, so the non-Jew can't appoint the mashkiach to separate his behalf. So the only way to separate tumas and maizes under such situation would be for the non-Jew to do it himself. So it gets a little bit complicated. The non-Jew, he doesn't understand what's going on. He has to explain him. He doesn't know how to read the text of the Chaznish. It becomes a whole to do. But in theory, that's what you could do. You could have the non-Jew himself separate the tumas and maizes. But to have him appoint the mashkiach, that would not be acceptable. There is another individual who was disqualified from serving as a shaliach, and that's somebody who's a lav bar dav, somebody who, pi halacha, cannot serve as a shaliach. Someone who's a katan, someone under the age of bar mitzvah, under the age of bas mitzvah, cannot serve as a shaliach. This is true even in a situation where the person can separate tumas and maaser themselves. How can a katan separate tumas and maaser? The katan under the age of bar bas mitzvah, what chaff them to separate tumas and maaser? So the Gemara Maseches Nida has a whole discussion about the following sugya, that normally the age of bar mitzvah is 13 years old, the age of bas mitzvah is 12 years old. So we assume that's halachah Moshe Sinai, that a child only becomes bar bas mitzvah at the age of, once they reach the age of such and such, as well as when they develop physical maturity, develop a sa'aros, that's considered to be the definition in Midaraisa, considered to be a bar or bas mitzvah. So the Gemara tells us that there's one exception to this rule, and that's in the realm of Hilchos Nedarim. In the realm of Hilchos Nedarim, and Hilchos Shvuos, and Neziris, and all those areas of halacha, what's called Hilchos Hafla'a. So Hilchos Hafla'a, the Mishnah says, is a special halacha, that a person becomes Bar Bas Mitzvah a year before they would otherwise become Bar Bas Mitzvah. What does it mean? So if you have a 12-and-a-half-year-old boy or 11-and-a-half-year-old girl who takes a neder, so the Mishnah says that neder may be binding. It depends on the following. If they really understand what's going on, so the Mishnah uses the phrase that someone who's a Samach L'ish or a Samach L'isha is Nidar V'Nidaran Nivdokin. But you have to ask the person, do they understand? You have to investigate, do they really know what's blind? Do they understand the concept of a Ned, a Shvu, and a Zirus, etc.? And if they do, then the Nedar would be binding. So the Gemara derives from Sukkim, especially the Zerasakosov, that a Mufla Samach L'ish, that a boy a year before Bar Mitzvah, a girl a year before Bar Mitzvah, even though they're not considered to be Bar Das and all other areas of Halacha, they are considered to be B'nai Das, for the purposes of Nadarim and Shavuos and Aziros, if they really start to understand what's going on. There is a Mechlokas Negemar, where this is a Din Midarais, or this is only a Chumah Midarabanan. If you assume, Mechlokas Yerushalayim, not a Paskin, if you assume that this is a Din Midarais, then the Gemara says, this will have nafkaminas in the realm of a Hafrashas Trumas and Maisus as well. The Hafrashas Truma is a similar to Hilchos Nadarim. There are certain similarities between separating Trumas and Maisus and taking a Neder. The most obvious similarity is that you're taking something which is basically a chulin, and you are giving it kedusha. You're endowing it with kedusha. So when you are doing it, in the case of a neder, you're doing it through your words. In the case of truma, you don't technically even need words for truma. You can do it with belay. You can do it with machshava, with thought as well. But it's similar parasha. The hilchos truma and maishras is considered to be a subcategory of hilchos aflav and the dharm and shmus and zirus charam and erich and etc. And therefore, the halacha would be that just as a mufla samach liyish would be permitted, would be able to take a neder min haTorah, so to a mufla samach liyish would be acceptable to be mafresh trumas and maishras min haTorah as well, assuming that the din of mufla samach liyish is really a din midaraisa. So you could theoretically have a situation where you have a katan, he's under the age of bar mitzvah, but he could still be mafresh truma. But he can only be mafresh truma if it's his own truma. So if he owns it himself, then he's a mufla samach liyish, he can be mafresh truma. But if you want to appoint him as a shaliach to be mafresh truma on your behalf, that's a problem. Because in order to be a shaliach, you have to be bar mitzvah. You have to be real bar mitzvah, real bona fide, not this fake quasi bar mitzvah, hilchos nedarim. So you have a strange situation where you have someone who's reached the age of quote-unquote bar mitzvah for the purposes of truma, but they're not the age of bar mitzvah for the purposes of shalichos, so therefore they can be mafresh their own truma, but they cannot be mafresh truma on behalf of somebody else. If I got this halacha that we just said, that hafrashas truma is similar to nedarim, this expressed itself in another area of halacha. The Gemara says in Maseches Nedarim that let's say a person was mafresh truma and then they want to back out from the mafreshes truma. They want to change their mind. They made a mistake. Whatever they want to start all over again. So normally, once a person does a chalot, so it's over, finished. If I sell your field, so unless there was some kind of real mekachtos, unless I sold you the field and there was some major piece of information that I was lacking, you were lacking. But otherwise, whenever you make a mechiri, you make a kedushin, so it's chalot, finished, unless it's a v'taos mamish. So Nedarim and Shavuos are an exception to that rule. There's a din of Ataras Nedarim. There's a special halacha of Moshe Mesinai that if a person takes a neder, and then they want to back out from the neder later. It wasn't a real toss. It wasn't a real mistake. It was that they didn't know a certain piece of information. They would have known something in the future. They wouldn't have said such a neder. Or they feel bad to take such a neder. They want to back out from the neder. So in Kol HaTerekula, that wouldn't be acceptable. But Hilchos Nedarim, there's a special halacha of Moshe Mesinai called the Taras Nedarim. You go to either to one expert dine, or you go to three Dayanim Hedyotos, like we do today, and one can be Matir Neder. And the Taras Nedarim is not just a game. It doesn't mean you go to the rabbi and you say, okay, I want to be Matir Neder. So he says, Mutlach, Mutlach, Mutlach. That's what we do in Erev HaShanah. But that's not what really happens. What the Taras Nedarim really is that there's a whole procedure. There's two prachim in Nedarim, how to go about doing it. You have to either present what's called a Pesach or a Charata. So a Pesach means that there has to be some kind of information that came up later, that if you would have known that information at the time, you wouldn't have taken that particular neder. Like the famous story of Rabbi Akiva, like Rabbi Akiva's father-in-law took a neder that Rabbi Akiva his daughter shouldn't get any hanah from him. So Rabbi Akiva was matter the neder, because he said to his father-in-law, if you would have realized that this ignorant shepherd, he was talking about himself, if you would have realized that this ignorant shepherd would become the Rosh Hashiva, so would you have ever taken such a neder? So Kabbalah said, no, he never would have taken such a neder. So that's what's called a Pesach. That means there was some kind of information that was missing at the time. If he would have been aware of that piece of information, so he wouldn't have taken such a neder. So So that's one method of being matir neder. That's what the Mishnah says in the Maseches Nedarim, that you can only be matir neder with a Pesach that's normal. A Pesach that, in theory, could have been foreseeable at the time that you took the neder. But if it's called a nolad, if it's something which is out of the ordinary, if it's a Meshugan to take a thing, a guy, some Reuben takes a neder from Shimon, and then Shimon becomes elected the president or something. So the odds that Shimon's going to be the president, a one in a, one in 10 billion, so that's what's called a ein poschen benolad. You can't use that as a Pesach. Pesach has to be something which is realistic. So Tosfos asks the famous kasha, the Sefer Ketubos, how could Rabbi Akiva be matir neder to Kalva Shavua, that if he would have known that this ignorant shepherd would have become the Gadol Hador, so he wouldn't have taken such a neder. That's so crazy. It's one in a million shepherds becomes a Gadol Hador. So isn't that a violation of ein poschen benolad? So Tosfos says, no. Tosfos says, that's not a nolad. Tosfos says, that's normal. He says, if a guy sits and learns for 24 years, so he can be the start out knowing nothing, and he'll become the Rashi, he'll become the Gadol Hador, Tosfos says, no big deal. Any time to get Harry to do that, you just have to put in the time. So that wasn't considered to be a problem of knowing. That's an important Tosfos in the world of Musa. Gives us chizuk as to what we can become, what makes us depressed, what we didn't become, whatever the case, whatever you take in that story, that Tosfos is. Anyway, getting back to the story. So the other way to be matir neder is through charata. But if a person just says, listen, I wasn't missing any information, but I feel horrible, I feel terrible that I said such and such a thing. I never would have said it. I feel so bad now. So that's what's called charata. So you can either be matir neder based on pesach or based on charata. We have to have one of the two. So how is this relevant to truma? So comes the Gemara Nedarim and says, let's say a guy is mafish truma, and then he realizes, he shouldn't have, something happened, he never should have been mafish to truma. So he comes to the Beis Din and he says, I want to be matir neder in the afreshes truma. So the halach is you can do that. So the Gemara says, the Farish and the Dham, you can do a Taurus, the Dharma, and Truma. After you do a Taurus, the Dharma, and Truma, you can't do a Taurus, the Dharma, and Kiddushin. The guy got married. He comes a year later and says, no, if I would have known that I would have gotten into a fight with my wife, I never would have gotten married. So that's not a Taurus, the Dharma. That's a joke. That's all they tell us. So you can't do a Taurus, the Dharma, and that, because Kiddushin is not part of a flaw. But the Gemara says you can do a Taurus, the Dharma, on Truma, because Truma is considered to be a subcategory of Hilchos HaFlaa. So this happens, believe it or not, every once in a while this happens. I just had the shayla last week, that's why it would stick in my mind. So somebody called me the shayla the other day that the wife was mafish chala, and she took the chala, she was supposed to set aside and to burn it, so she mafish chala, she put it down at the table, and then this guy goes up, she got a phone call, she went to the kid came, took the chala, threw the chala into the whole batch, now the whole thing is one big mishmash. It's all one big thing of cholera, of chala and chula, and everything's all mixed together. So now what do you do? They have to throw the whole thing out because you have part of that dough is now something which is also the achila. So what do you do about it? So that's a big problem. So I had the shal a few times before. So the poskim write that what you can do is you can be matir neder on the shala. That means you can come to the Beis Din and you can say to the Beis Din, listen, if I would have known that this challah would have gotten mixed up with the rest of the dough, which is a common thing, that Harai, I've had the shabbat 3-4 times, so if I would have known that this challah would have gotten mixed up with the other challah, I never would have been mafish challah in the first place. So that's mafkiya the kitish challah. And the challah becomes chulin again, so now it's teva, and I got to start all over again. But the good news is that now everything that's in that dough is now mutter, and now you just have to separate another challah, and then you're home free. So you do a taras to darim on a first challah. The poskim write that you should only do that if you're mamish stachah. There's no way out, so you can do a taras to darim on a first challah. This is a shot of a bracha matola. Now it turns out your original bracha was no good. We try to avoid it if you don't have to. So one time I had a wild situation where somebody asked me the same shayla, and it turned out that the person who asked me the shayla happened to have been a kohen. So the din is that the ikra din, a kohen is permitted to eat the chalas chutz laaretz, even in the state of tuma. We usually don't do it. It's a cheshbonis, but the ikra din, a kohen does not as that would be permitted to eat even in the state of tuma chalas chutz laaretz, except certain types of tumas, but the chalas bata barov. Again, we've been out the details right now. So it happened to be the good luck was that this particular family, not this time, but two times ago, the particular family happened to have been Kohanim. So I told them that they could eat this fowl the way it is, since they're all Kohanim. The only thing is I told them that they're having guests for Shabbos, so if they're having guests who are not Kohanim, they have to tell them that the challah is tray for them. We'll try to explain that to them. But they're allowed to eat it, but the guests can't eat the challah. Anyway, getting back to the story. So a precious truma, a precious challah is considered to be part of the category of Nedarim, and therefore, it's possible that even someone under the age of Bar Mitzvah may be able to be mafish, truman, chal, etc. If the person is yigil, oner, son, and daughter, if they're old enough, they're a year before Bar Bas Mitzvah, if you hold that Mufla Samachlish is a real good midaraisa, then it would work even for a farshas, truman, chal, which would only be, which would be their aisa. Okay, so we said that there is a halacha that a person can either be mafresh truma, maiser, and chala either themselves, or they can appoint somebody as a shaliach to do it for them. But if they're going to be a shaliach, then they have to be very careful. They can only appoint a shaliach who's kosher to be a shaliach, someone who's Jewish, someone who's over the age of bar mitzvah, etc. There is a very common shaila that may happen every day in all of our bakeries, possibly, depending on how you understand shaila in the story, which revolves around a very basic fundamental question about hafreshes trumas and maisers and challah and shlichos in general. There is a sugya in Maseches Nedarim Daf Lamed Vav, but the Gemara raises the following question. Let's say I know that you have grain or you have products, you have fruit, right, that you haven't separated trumas and maisers from. And I want to be a nice guy, and I want to separate trumas and maisers on your behalf. But I wasn't appointed by you to do that, so I can be a nice guy tomorrow, but I can't do that. So I can't go to your field and take stuff on your behalf. That's out of the question. But I want to take stuff on my from my stuff on your behalf. So I happen to also have produce that hasn't yet been separated from some maizers. So I have 100 apples and you have 100 apples. So I go ahead and I take some of my apples and I say, these apples should hereby exempt my apples and they should exempt your apples also. And my little bit of chuma, that should part of your stuff as well. So the Gemara Nedarim of Lamed Vav raises the question, can you do such a stunt? Is that acceptable or not? What's the shaila? So the Gemara says that on the one hand, what I'm doing is very nice. I'm a big tzaddik. I'm saving you a couple of dollars. I'm saving you a few apples. So l'chor, that's a good thing. So I should be able to do that for you. L'chor, that should be an application of zoch l'yadam shalom b'fonov. I'm allowed to do something which is advantageous to you, something which is positive for you. So it sounds like that's a schus. On the other hand, the Gemara says, maybe it's not such a great schus, because maybe it's mutter v'odam lasos mitzvah b'mamono. Maybe the other guy would like to be mafresh to his mice himself. He doesn't want to steal his mitzvah from him. He wants to do the mitzvah himself. So there are svaras l'kan l'kan. So on the one hand, we have a rule. Zoch l'yadam shalom b'fonov. I could do things which are positive for somebody else without their consent. On the other hand, ein chavin l'yadam b'fonov. I cannot do anything which is negative for a person unless they appoint me to do so. So the Gemara is tippling with the shaila. This is called the positive, this is called negative. So as a lot of things in life, there are certain plus and certain minuses. So on the one hand, I'm doing the guy a favor. I'm pottering him from his trumas and maisers. On the other hand, I'm stealing his mitzvah from him. So is that a good thing or is that not a good thing? So there's a whole discussion, back and forth, what the halacha is. But, so whatever the din is, it doesn't matter as much for us. What matters is the issue that the Rishonim raise about this sugya. So come to the Rishonim on this sugya and say, wait a second, hold the phone, stop for a second. The Gemara is having some technical mitzvah question. Is it good or is it no good? Is it advantageous or is it disadvantageous? I'm sure that's the right word, but we'll make it up. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? The fact that I'm taking away somebody's mitzvah by using my own fruit to pot to them from their chiyuv. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? So come to Rishon and say, wait a second, even if it's a good thing. So Zion, it's a good thing. It's a great thing. It's one of the tzaddik, the great, biggest tzaddik in the world. But he didn't appoint me to do it. We just started off the shir by saying that you can only separate trumas and maisers for somebody. Either you can separate for yourself, or you can separate for somebody else if you are officially appointed as a shaliach. It's not yours. You're trying to pout there his stuff, and you're not a shaliach. He never told you to do it. So how can the Gemara make it dependent upon, is it good or is it no good? It can be the greatest thing in the world, but it's still no good because you weren't appointed as a shaliach. That's the question that all the Rishonim would bother with. So Tosfos in the Dharma, Daf Lamed Vav, says, you see from this Gemara, Gevalt Gechidish, you see from this Gemara the following Yisrael, says Tosfos, that this principle in Halacha, called Zoch L'Yadam Shalom B'Fonov, that you say, I want to give you a present, and you happen not to be, you're in China. So I give this present to Reuven, I say, Reuven, pick up this present on behalf of Shimon, and when Shimon comes back, he's very happy, he's very appreciative that I did that. So Shimon Taka owns the present, that's called Zoch L'Yadam Shalom B'Fonov. So comes Tosfos and says, that principle of Zoch L'Yadam Shalom B'Fonov, where did that come from? What's that halacha based on? Says Tosfos coined the phrase, Zechia Mita'am Shlichos, that when I do something which is advantageous to somebody, it's mamish as if he appointed me as a shaliach. So says Tosfos, that's what's going on in the Gemara, that the starting point of the sugya is, the premise of the sugya is very simple. There's only one way in the world you can be mafresh, trumas, and maisers on behalf of somebody else. It's only if you are the officially appointed shaliach. You have to be the shaliach of the individual. But now we have an unbelievable chiddush called Zoch L'Yadam Shalom B'Fonov. Zoch L'Yadam Shalom B'Fonov means if it's advantageous for the person, then we can forego the official appointment of shaliach. You can become a shaliach without being appointed as a shaliach. Zechiyah mita'am shalichos. The only thing is, the Gemara is not sure. Is it good? Is it no good? Is it advantageous? Is it not advantageous? So that's what the Gemara is this topic about. Is it a good thing or is it a bad thing? Would people like somebody to offer shumas on their behalf or not? But imtum zolayim, it's a good thing. If it really is positive, so then the din of zachal anshul mafanav kicks in, and zachal anshul mafanav is a corollary of shlichus, and you show, and that's how this whole of precious tumas and maizos works. That's what Tosfos says in the Darim daf lamidvav. So comes the Rashba on that sugya, and the Rashba says, no, it's not true. That zechi is not nitam shlichus. Those are two different parshas. The only way to be mafresh tumas and maizos on behalf of somebody else is only if you are officially appointed as a shaliach. Zoch le'am shalom afanah from today to tomorrow is not going to work. So happily the Gemara said it does work. So says the Rashba, no, it's very, very different than the Rashba. In the case of the Gemara in the Darim daf lamidvav, I'm not separating your produce. I'm not taking your fruit. I'm taking my fruit. So I can take my fruit and use my fruit to be told to you. You don't need shalichos for that. I don't have to be appointed to do that. But in order to separate your fruit, so that's not the question. I can never ever be mafish your tumas and maizos. I can't take away your fruit. I can't take something from you unless I have absolute authorization to do so. Zoch le'am shal v'fun of his garnish is not going to help at all. So it's a machlekes tais in the Rash, but just a lumdus and a mechanics. How do we understand this Gemara? On the one hand, the Gemara tradition, Mem Aleph, says that you need authorization. You need to be a shaliach to be mafish tumas and maizos. On the other hand, the Gemara seems to say Zoch le'am is good. So Tosfos says, yeah, Zachar and Shlichus, all the same thing. Chiyah v'tam Shlichus, it's all one and the same. The Rashi says, it's absolutely not one and the same. Shlichus l'chud and Zachiyah l'chud. Shlichus is required. Zachiyah is not acceptable. The only reason why this is acceptable is because I'm not touching your fruit, I'm touching my fruit. So my nafkamina between Tosfos and the Rashba, a tremendous nafkamina ladina. So comes the Ramah and the Chaschala with the following shayla. The Ramah quotes in the name of the Tshuva Sadeshet. The Tshuva Sadeshet always has the greatest shaylas. You know why? Because he made them up. When you read the Tshuvas and Tshuvas Hadesh, you think he got this Kuvaldi Kishas from all over Europe. So he gave all this Lomdash Terutim, these Lomdash Tshuvas. No, he writes in Agdama that he made up the Shailas. He had things he wanted to talk about. So he wrote up, make believe Shailas. And then he was able to say, Hishtukul Tairis, that make believe Shailas. Why it's such a great sefer. So the Ramah quotes in the name of Tshuvas Hadesh the following Shailas. This could really be a Shailas. Whether it was or not, I can't tell you, but this could really be a real bona fide Shailas. You have a woman is baking, so she's kneading the dough, and she's getting ready, she's baking a bread, or cookies, or cakes, whatever she's baking, and she didn't get around to be mafresh challah yet, and then all of a sudden something happens, she gets called out of the house, so she has to go run to carpool, I don't know, she has to go get the phone call, whatever it is, that doesn't say there anymore. So she has to go, and she runs out of the house. And she left behind her misharesas, the Rama calls her. She's a Jewish ozeret. She's a helper in the kitchen. A Jewish woman is helping her cook and bake and clean up in the house. So this misharesas is sitting there, and she's watching that the dough's got to be finished, and she's got to throw it into the oven, and you have to get it ready, and the balas habayis is going to be back for another few hours. So the misharesas knows that it's always at this point where the balas habayis is mafresh challah. This is the normal protocol for mafresh challah at this point. So the shaila is, can the misharesas go ahead and be mafresh challah at this point without the express authorization of the balas habayis? That's the shaila that the Tshuva Sadeshin raises, that the Ramon of Haschalah talks about. So comes Ramon, the name of Tshuva Sadeshin, says it's fine. Says it's not a problem. Why? Because we paskin in the Gemara, in the Darim daf lamidvav, that it's considered to be a zchus to be mafresh truma on behalf of somebody else, if you know that they really want you to do so. Here, clearly the balas habayis is going to be happy. She's going to be thrilled. Otherwise, she doesn't want chalila. They're going to forget to be mafresh challah. Everyone's going to be eating trays. So, of course, the balas habayis would be thrilled if the misharesas would be mafresh on her behalf. So, says the Ramon, the name of Tshuva Sadeshin, you can be mafresh challah based on the Gemara and the Darim. The same way you can be mafresh truma for somebody else if you really know that they want you to do it. So, too, you can be mafresh challah if you really know that the person wants you to do it. That's what the Ramon paskins. So comes the Ktsos and says, wait a second, not so cautious. Who says that this Ktsach of the Ramah is correct? So says the Ktsos, let's make the Cheshbon. If you hold like Tosfos in the Darim daf lamidvav, that Zechi is mitam shlichos, but the Gemara is telling us the Gevaldik Echidish, that just as you can be mafresh trumas and maishas, you can be mafresh challah based on an official appointment of shlichos, if the situation is sized up to be a zechus, if it really is meritorious, if it really is beneficial for the person, you can be mafresh, trumas and maizos, and by extension the challah as well, even without express authorization, so then this is great. So then there are most tzach, the trumas and maizos tzach is 100% right. As long as we size this up to zechus, obviously the balabais is happy with it, so mishtabah, that'll be okay. Masha Einkein says, what if the Rashba is right? What if Zechiah's lami tam shlichus? What if Zechiah doesn't give you the right to be mafresh truma on behalf of somebody else? So what's going on in the Darim daf lamidvav? So the Rashba highlighted the fact that in the Darm of Lamed Vav, the person who's doing the Afrasha is using his own stuff. He's taking his own produce. He's taking his own fruit. He's not taking the other guy's fruit. But in the case of the Ramah, the Mishares is taking the dough of the Balas Habayis. So do you have a right ever to go into somebody else's property and yank that person's property, take that person's dough, take that person's apples, take that person's tavua, and be mafresh truma, mice, and chal on their behalf, even if you know they want you to do so? So says the Rashi, you cannot do that. The Ketzel, point of phrase, the Ketzel says, the halacha is zochen le'adam shalom ufanav, not zochen ne'adam shalom ufanav. You can give somebody else something. You can't take something away from somebody else. It can be the biggest chus in the world. You have no right to do that unless you're an officially appointed shaliach by the balabais themselves. So says the Ketzos, even though there are more quotes of Shumas Adeshan and the other posts from the Taz and your day accept this Shumas Adeshan and Halacha, the Ketzos throws a monkey wrench in it. The Ketzos says he's not sure that it's right. It's only true according to Tarsus Lamdus, but it's not true according to the Lamdus of the Rashba. And how do you know? Maybe we pass it to Rashba. Not so simple. So the Ketzos is mafaktik and this basic halacha. Why is this halacha so relevant for us? It sounds like it's so once in a yovel, you have the Baal Shabbos, you have to run out, and so you're not going to have an official appointment of Shaliach. So one could argue that we run into the Shaila all the time. In the following situation, let's say a regular standard bakery. So the halacha is that you have an owner of a bakery, so the owner of the bakery, he's the Baal Shabbos, so he has to be mafresh to Chal himself. He's not going to be mafresh to Chal himself. Half the time he's not in the bakery. He's running 15 different bakeries. He's not around. So who's going to do that frasha? He's going to appoint somebody. So either one of the Jewish bakers, he's going to appoint the Mashkiach. Somebody's going to be appointed to be mafresh challah. So what's the problem? That's shlichus. What's the shaila? Not so simple. You can only appoint somebody to be a shlichus. That's something that you yourself can do. So if I have the dough and it's all ready, and now I appoint the person to be my shlichus to separate the challah, so that's fine. That's not a problem. But what if I don't have the dough yet? The flour hasn't even arrived yet. So what's the halacha in the following case? The bakery is opened up at 6 o'clock in the morning and they're starting to bake. They're starting to make dough. So the Baal HaBayis, he's sleeping. He's not at the 8:45 minute. He's not around to be mafresh the challah yet. He told the Mashkiach yesterday before he closed up the store. He said, tomorrow morning, bright and early, 6 o'clock, start being mafresh challah. But yesterday, when he, quote unquote, appointed him as a shliach, there was no dough. There was no flour. The flour shipment didn't even come in until the next morning. So the Baal HaBayis put it to be mafresh chal at that time. What you can't do yourself, you can't appoint a shaliach to do. So there's no mini shalichus. There's no official appointment of shalichus that's binding in halacha. So what gives the right to the mashkiach to be mafresh to chala? So the chora, the answer is that it's a schus. Obviously the mashkiach knows the Baal HaBayis wants him to do it. Otherwise, as they lose the hashkacha, of course he wants to have a kosher bakery. So of course he wants the Baal HaBayis, when he's sleeping, he's very happy the mashkiach is being mafresh in his behalf. So according to the Ramah, you're home free. According to the Ramah, that's perfectly okay. You can set up a bakery in such a way where there's no official appointment of shalichus. It doesn't matter what do you need an appointment of shalichus for. As long as you have zechus, that's perfectly all right. That's good according to the Ramah, the Tumas Hadesh, and the Taz, going to tell us his footsteps. But if you hold like the Rashba, the Ketzayish is the Fakfik, maybe the Rashba is right, that under no circumstances can you take somebody else's property and use it for hafrasha, whether they like it, they don't like it, unless you officially appoint it up, he did it as a shaliach. But that's not a good shaliachus, because the Baal HaBayis himself couldn't have been mafresh at the time that he, quote unquote, yesterday appointed you as a shaliach. So you have to have a new chumra. But according to the Rashi and the Ketzos, every time you're about to be mafresh challah, you've got to get the Baal HaBayis on the phone and have him appoint you as an official shaliach each and every time. So needless to say, the bakeries, I don't think any of the bakeries actually do that. So I think that the Minigah Elam, everybody follows, everyone relies on the Ramah. So the truth is that L'chora, this is not only true about a Afrashas Challah, this is true about a Afrashas Trumas and Maisus also. You have the same situation in Eretz Yisrael. So you have an establishment that owns X amount of stuff, produce, and who's being mafresh Trumas and Maisus for them? So let's say you walk around your Shulayim, so you see these big signs on all the stores, that the Vada Kashas, or the Badas, who for sure Trumas and Maisus Hayoyim, and Chaf Aleph Elo Layaday, Rav Plenty of Plenty. So that means that the owner of the store was there. The owner of the store actually told the Mashiach and the Badat to be mafresh Trumas and Maisus. Maybe. What most probably happened is that 6 months ago when their store applied for the Badat, so the deal was every morning at 8 o'clock in the morning the Mashiach is going to come before they open up and start selling. So that's not shlichus. How can the owner of the store appoint the Mashiach and the Badat if he doesn't even have the fruit yet? Fruit hasn't even grown yet. So what kind of mina shlichus is that? So the answer is, it's not mina shlichus. It's zochen le'am shalom b'fanav. Who says Zachar Emshal Lefanav is good enough for Afrasha? So Tosfos said it. The Rambam said it. The Zeshin said it. But the Rashba and the Ketos had pikpukim with it. So Rabbi Shechter was several times I've heard him do over this that he's just pointed out that wasn't saying we should or shouldn't follow it. He's just saying that it's funny that you have a whole setup, all the Rashkachas, all the Afrashchal in the world, all the Shemesh in the world is all hinging upon this this Rama. So he was just over that not everybody would necessarily accept the system that we have set up today. So last year, of course, I was speaking to Rav Asher Weiss about this topic. And I asked him, is there any way that they can set this up right, so a little bit better, any way to get around this problem? So he didn't think it was a problem. He didn't think that this was Bechlal Shayach to the Machloikis, the Toz and the Rashba. He thought when you have a relationship with a Mashkiach, so the Mashkiach is not just a Tashliach B'Yama. He's like a Shtickle Balabas. It's his job. That's what he's supposed to be doing. It's not like in the case of the Ramah, so it was a once in a Yovel type of a setup. Normally the Balas Abayas was separating Chala. There's one case that she had to go run out, take care of something, and Sharesh is going to step up to the plate. So then you have to come on to Zuchia and the Shlichos and the Teshus and the Rashba, etc. But when this is the way the setup is with Chila, every day is like this, so then that's not considered to be this Machlekes. I didn't exactly understand. I hear the Chila, I'm not exactly sure why it should make a difference, but that's what they thought. So I don't know, between Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Asher Weiss, whether the standard of Russians that we have in all our bakeries, or the standard of Russians that we have in all the places in Eretz Yisrael, are they subject to this Machlekes or not? At the end of the day, we pass like the Ramah. The Midrash was like the Ramah. The Ketos himself is over that the Ramah said. He's not coming with fact like Mamish to disagree with the Ramah halacha. But it's just interesting that at least the way Rabbi Shechter sized up this sugya, it sounds like what we do on a daily basis is dependent upon this whole machlokes between Tais and the Rashba. That's what argues like Rabbi Asher Weiss said, that the chlal, these kinds of scenarios is not the chlal shy after that. And I slice, and that's what the Dominican oil is, that everyone eats bakeries, everyone eats the Shubas and Maestros based on this system. You know, follow this Ramah. I don't know. I think everybody follows this Ramah. Last week I discussed, I said a shiur in the Ramah Shul, last Wednesday I was in Krakow. So I said, so we had two shiurs that came up. So I said a shiur in the Ramah Shul about a sugya that the Ramah had spoke about, a whole discussion. But then we had even more shiurs, labeled shiurs. We had a shiur whether we should say tachra or not. We were davening mincha last Wednesday in the Ramah Shul. So there are different halachos, whether you say tachra in the week after Shavuos or not. So the bachurim from the yeshiva from Berlin that we were with, so the meaning of the yeshiva is that they don't say tachra. So I was just more of the fact that the Ramah himself in Ucha Shavua says you're supposed to say Tachanun. You only don't say Nishukhak. I thought it was a little bit funny. We're not going to say Tachanun in the Ramah Shul. So the Lamaisa we voted, we said Tachanun in the Ramah Shul. Then they tell me afterwards that apparently even when the Hasidim come to daven in the Ramah Shul, in deference to Ramah, they daven as Kashkinas, that there's no Nusach Svar to sit in the whole Ramah Shul. So everybody, so that's the Minigam Makam. So the Minigam Makam for that, the Minigam Makam for this as well. Anyway, so a little prepare for the Ramah. Okay, I hope next week there should be a shiur. Maybe we'll just keep in touch because maybe one something next Wednesday. I think I'll be done in time. So if there's any change during the week, I'll let you know. The following week I won't be here, and then I think the following after that I think will be the last one for the year. So we have either one or two left. Thank you.